broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Sterling Country Club for the occasional invitational. It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell out here. And AJ is back in the studio out here live at Sterling Country Club. And it is awesome out there. I've never played Houston National. I don't know if you have, Lance. I'm not sure. I have never played out here, so this is a real treat. It's beautiful. It looks like it is not going to be easy. You haven't played in forever. Well, yesterday.
I just went literally to top. I was like, you know where I was going to go? I was looking for a – it's 7:30. I didn't get off from doing podcasts and all that stuff. My last one, I did four of them yesterday. My last one was Paul Gallant. And I went home 8, and I'm like, it was 7:30. I started
to go. Too late to
7:30.
You could have gone to East River 9.
Well, yeah, but I didn't want to go through downtown. I actually thought about that, and then I looked at Marty Golf is open. That's Elroy Marty. That's where you're. So I almost went out there, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna head the Beltway because I didn't realize it was out there a little way. So
it is out there. What Top Golf?
So I went to just Beltway to I-10 to Top Golf. It was actually faster that way. And so I literally just set it up for 30 minutes. The waiter hated me. I got water, 30-minute golf, and I just got the clubs. I get three at a time. Started with the gap wedge and pitching wedge and 9-iron, boom, 8-7-6, 5-4. Apparently, I don't have a 3-iron in my bag, I guess.
Okay. Well, nobody hits a 3-iron anymore, just so you know.
No, they don't?
No.
Really?
No. You use some kind of a –
I got a 4. Well, a 4 wood.
Yeah.
Really? No one hits a 3?
No. I don't know anyone that has a 3-iron anymore.
Huh. No. I had no idea.
No.
I mean, I haven't –
Well, I don't have a 4-iron.
Really?
No. No. You just use utility clubs now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what's a utility club? You're just talking about like a 4 wood, 5 wood?
Yeah, 22 degree and then a 18.
Well,
degree.
I haven't played – actual golf for at least 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
But I actually hit the ball not bad. We'll see if I keep the swing thoughts right in this one. But, I mean, I was just rapid fire. I got off 68 shots in 30 minutes, mm-hmm. I guess. So I was getting through it pretty quick.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
The driver's not really driver, I was landing like.
Well, we are out here for our occasional invitational, and we're going to be here all
is that Joe George?
Morning. That is Joe George over here.
He's out here this early.
You didn't even see Joe George when you came in?
He wasn't here when I came through.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you came in here and blew up the place already, nice.
That's not even accurate.
So
just a long pee.
He had a long drive from coming up here. And here we are live at Sterling National Country Club, which is just beautiful. We appreciate being out here, and we're going to have a great day. I'm going to have a great day because I'll be coming in here and seeing Dell while, as we come through around, and Dell's show will be on, and I'll be able to yell stuff at him and ask him if he wants any Coors Lights or if he's going to come out and play with us. That's my job.
Will continue
and
to
I
be
do
now.
It well. And I do it well every single time. So yesterday, well, we're waiting on, we know this, we found this up. Luka's not coming back. Austin Reeves probably will play tonight. Kevin Durant is not going to play tonight. But Luka Doncic won't even play if the Lakers move on. That's how bad that hamstring is.
Yeah.
So
those things last a long time. That was kind of a given that, like, at the best you're looking at 4 weeks.
Yeah.
At the best.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really bad hamstring pull that he had. We saw Esoc last year, and that's baseball. You don't even have to run. Esoc last year, how much time did he miss with a hamstring? It's almost, in basketball, it's just so much running and so much. You need them hamstrings a hell of a lot more. But, you know, the Lakers were playing really good basketball before the playoffs started, before Luka got hurt and Reeves got hurt. They were actually moving up. They were kicking the Rockets' ass at home, not taking care of that business. I'm not sure that they were ever going to give Oklahoma City a scare, a threat, right. But they could. It would be a hell of a lot more interesting if Luka was around, that's for sure. And now you give them less than no chance. The Spurs move on last night. First team to move on, and that's the first time that they move on since 2017. Their first playoff win since 2017, and they look like a pretty damn good basketball team. That'll be interesting. I don't know. And without Anthony Edwards, Denver looked much better, didn't they? The other night, yeah. And so now they've got probably a shot to take care of Minnesota. It without Anthony Edwards, we don't want Minnesota around, do we?
So no. He is, what is it, week to week, 2 to 3 weeks? So he likely, if they can finish off the Nuggets, it'll likely have to come in their next game at home. They don't want to go back to Denver for Game 7. He would probably miss, at best, like two games of the next series. Could they steal one against against San Antonio? That would be the question, because if they're down 0-2, then they've got no shot. But if they can close this one out, find a way to get one, and hopefully he's back midway through that series, they got a shot. But no, if he's not able to play, and hell, he was limping coming into the playoffs. There were questions about his availability, and he found a way to get out there, and then you saw what happened because, you know, he jumps really high, and he came down awkwardly.
That was bad.
Yeah, so, and they were thankful that he didn't tear a ligament in the same game where Dante DiVincenzo tears his Achilles, so they lose big parts of their backcourt in a matter of minutes. So it's going to be this way. We thought it would be this way. The injuries haven't helped, but it'll be Spurs, San Antonio. The Spurs against the Thunder, and it'll be, hey, will this be the thing we have to deal with for the next half a decade? I won't give it a decade because windows aren't as large as that, but these two teams are going to be playing each other for the right to make the finals for half a decade, and I don't know who's going to intercede in that.
You see, this is where the Rockets were. That pisses me off so much. This is where the Rockets were supposed to be. After, you know, we went through our 3 years like we did with the Astros, and then, you know, then they took over at the top of the league because they built it. They did it the right way. They lost. They, you know, gathered talent at the top of the draft, and then they're supposed to develop that talent, and they're supposed to be, you know, it was the Astros recipe, and this is where we are instead. I think it's unfortunate where they ended up drafting in large part, because they picked third in that draft with Paolo Banchero
and Chet,
and they got third, and they got Jabari. And Amen was a good pick, but that was the same as the Wembanyama. So That's a problem.
And despite Kate Cunningham's turnover issues, you had it was 1 and 2.
There were two
players in the draft. Turns out maybe there was just one, although Mobley and others are fine. And you got Jalen instead of being in a position to take Kate.
Would you have been better off taking it Mobley?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And Jalen was catching it from Phoenix fans in a must-win game. I think he was like 10 of 25 and just jacking up all kinds of – he was dismal from three-point range.
You know that that old meme, now the guy it's canceled, but it was James Franco in a movie, looks to his right, first time, Phoenix fans? Is your first time dealing with Jalen? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
But they're saying that. Well, you know what's funny is, not necessarily about the injury stuff. Well, kind of, some. I saw Phoenix fans saying the same thing to Rockets about KD, about dealing with his, you know, the drama that surrounds him. There was a lot of – that was the first time I've seen – totally get the one with Jalen, but they were sending stuff. I saw a lot of Phoenix fans like, oh, welcome to our world and things like that, because he just kind of came in and, you know, blew up Phoenix a little bit. There was nothing really successful there. So, yeah. And then the one thing that was not expected was Dylan Brooks went off. 3 games with 30 points or more? My gosh.
I think that the Rockets are definitely missed him more than anybody.
You know, the more I look at it, this trade, it really didn't work. I mean, anything short of going deep into the playoffs next year, this is not a good trade. It's not going to be a good trade because Jalen Green is Jalen Green. Dylan Brooks, you do miss something with Dylan Brooks, and Dylan clearly has more offensive ability. Just look at this year. I mean, he's getting better. It's weird. Later in his career, he's getting better. He's shooting threes better. He was a better offensive player in general. He was kind of self-limiting because of his own, you know, in Memphis, his own personality and his own, you know, villainous. Like, sometimes the villainous stuff gets in the way of him just being a better basketball player offensively than anyone ever realized. But I'd much rather have those commodities back and not have Kevin Durant right now than the opposite now that we've seen one full year. Because Kevin Durant's situation, I mean, he'll play for you for 3 years at most. And here's another one where he's going to have a season-ending injury, basically, because they're probably going to get beaten and he'll be on the sideline. He's not going to get healthier as he gets older, Kevin Durant. He's had a series of injuries over the last 5 years, the last 4 years. So he's not going to get healthier. The odds of him staying as healthy as he did in the regular season this year aren't great. And then you got to get him through a postseason, which obviously he couldn't do this year. He suffered two injuries in the postseason. So I don't know. I kind of wish we had Jalen and Dylan back and then, you know, the ability to trade either one of them when we want. They're still tradable commodities, obviously. But, you know, if they had to do it all over again. Giannis would have been better. It's hindsight, but I liked it at the time. I liked Giannis better. I didn't love having to give up Alpi, and I'm assuming, and Amen was off the board anyway. You weren't making any deal that involved Amen Thompson. So that wasn't going to be, or you just didn't make a deal. Rafael Stone would not trade Amen, and frankly, he probably just wouldn't trade Alpi, honestly, because that's one of his guys. And Stone doesn't like trading his guys at all.
No. Well,
unless Tillman and Patrick.
Would you get more if you had Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green right now than you could possibly get? Kevin Durant is being talked about as a possibility to trade. Kevin Durant will bring more.
I don't know. I mean, he has to bring a certain amount of cat salary match. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's that. There's a certain amount of salary match he has to bring, but I don't know. He only is a fit for certain types of teams. You know, he's not gonna be a fit for lower level teams with good young talent. That's not gonna be the case. Like who does he fit exactly? He won't fit. You know, he won't fit New York. I don't think. Kind of running out of places.
I don't know why he wouldn't fit New York. Why wouldn't he?
I think number one, it would be a nightmare with he and the New York media. As soon as he starts his Kevin Durant stuff, because he doesn't like being, he would hate the New York media, because they're going to be in his face all the time. He likes to be left alone.
But he's played. He played in Brooklyn. I mean, so
yeah,
he
not
had that
for
before.
Long. What? 2 years or was it 3 years? Maybe 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's already. I mean, he's already been. I don't know about that. About the media thing. Maybe. I don't think they trade. Kevin Durant's going to be here. Kevin Durant is going to be here, and they're going to be. Hopefully, they're going to be better, and hopefully, they'll have Fred and Steven Adams for. I don't know, for any amount of time. That sure would be nice. Sure would be nice for them to be around next year. And Kevin Durant to actually make it through the end of the year. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be great. All right, we are live at Sterling Country Club.
And not to drop R-bombs on his teammates.
Well, that would be, yeah, R-bombs are not what you should, you know, be talking about your teammates. I don't know.
What's a proper way to say your teammate doesn't have high basketball IQ without it being
You mean for leaked publication?
Yeah, like, of course you don't want to say it directly to his face, but if you're in a group chat and you're in fear, you may be in fear of this being public. What's a proper way of saying your guy doesn't understand the game of basketball?
Shut up, you big dummy.
Well, in football, what you say is a high rep guy. You say he's a high rep, he needs lots of repetitions to get it. So that's code for learning disability.
Is it?
Is it?
100% it is in football.
He's a high rep guy?
If you hear somebody who's a high rep guy, needs a lot of reps to get it.
Okay.
That's what that means is he has trouble
learning.
Means
you're low key?
So what?
You have trouble learning.
Was Jabari showing that he was a low rep guy yesterday?
High rep guy.
Oh, high rep guy. Excuse me, high
needs
rep.
Needs lots of
reps. I was thinking low
it, yeah.
IQ
right,
and high
right.
and reps. So
I get
combine
that.
Those.
Yeah, I get that.
The higher the reps, the lower the IQ.
Apparently in football. Was he displaying that he's a high rep guy when he said, despite the fact that his team's down 3-1, that they're the better team?
No, because I think they are the they are the better
as a,
team
in a totality. Because
they don't have a better record.
No, and. Does he mean without Luka?
Beaten soundly the first two.
Does he mean without Luka and Reeves?
Yes.
Team?
Yes.
Okay.
Without the players on the with our team now and
take
your
out
team
Durant,
now,
take yeah. out Reeves and Luka. He believes they're a better team.
Yes.
I believe he's right. They should have obviously won.
But now Reeves is back.
Game three.
So are they still the better team?
No, they're no longer the better team.
He should know that Reeves is coming back.
No, we don't know.
Well, let's not forget
high rep
guy. Let's not forget high rep.
mean, that's really insulting.
I don't know that he is. That's KD.
That's KD's assumption. Alleged assumption.
I didn't say he was.
Yeah. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. We're live at Sterling National Country Club here in Cyprus. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. We appreciate them. We're making money for kids' meals today out here, thanks to Brown Bag Deli and Valencia.
And Coors Lights and for you Coors guys Light. If and you, Coors when you come Light. Out here.
Coors Light is why I'm here today. I mean, if there wasn't going to be Coors Lights here, I would have protested and probably not shown up.
Who are you going to have to come back and pick up your car? I'm asking in advance.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a version of Own Well that protests lack of Coors Lights?
That's right. This is. And trust me, I would have been calling Own Well to
Oh,
protest.
My gosh. Look who the spot is right now. I'll just take my headphones off.
All right. It's time to talk about cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I'm going to know when I'm out there in this heat that my beers are cold. And you know how I'm going to know? Because my mountains are going to be blue. My mountains were blue all day yesterday, and all night. It was a great, great Blue Mountain day. Make your Blue Mountains a great day for you. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, there's one place to get it, and that's with our friends over at Coors Light. I am a big fan. I think you know that. I'm an enthusiast, and I'm going to continue to be an enthusiast thanks to that wonderful water that they use and thanks to their cold brewing process. It is fantastic. You're looking for the best way to be refreshed. The world's most refreshing beer, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Thanks for being here today.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Sterling Country Club. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. We are at Sterling Country Club here with the old Houston National, at Houston National. And we want you to get in. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. You made reference, AJ, get that Jabari soundbite. You made reference.
Don't play where Kevin Durant needs to get out of the double team again. It's going to start a whole fuss
Kevin
again.
Would say you can't. We've already heard his feelings.
Oh, I'm out for the year next year. Oh, my knee, my ankle, my elbow. I'm out for the year in 2027. Jabari said I got to get out of a double team.
I'm not sure it hurt his feelings, but we do not. We want him to come back if he
possibly
can.
You're not sure, but you think it might have.
I think it might have. Yep. Might have led to him not being on the bench. We don't know. There was no reason for him not to be on the bench the other night at game three. But he wasn't. And then he was there for game four, and he was yucking it up with the guys, boy. They're tightening. Now they're tight. It is a tight-knit group, okay?
They're like, we like when Kevin's been smoking. He's way nicer. You saw the video on the bench. There's a lot of memes and a lot of tweets that said, look how high KD is. Look at his eyes and all this stuff. And I was like, he did.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he did have that sativa smile.
Yep, he did. He was having a good time, and he was yucking it up. That's for sure. And it seems like that's what you do when you're pretty smoked out. Here is Jabari talking about this game tonight, and who's the better team?
Just stay with it. Be us, be aggressive, play free. We're obviously the better team, I feel like. So just knowing that, being confident, trusting our work, and just telling us to be us. You know.
Why do you think you're the better team in this game?
Okay.
We, us. I just feel like from top to bottom, you can say that's an opinion, you can say I'm biased, but I just think we're the better team.
Okay.
I mean, I don't
you
have
know
any
what? He's supposed to.
Yeah.
He's supposed to feel that.
I don't have any problem with him saying that.
I mean, if he didn't think they were a better team, if he's like, hey, they're just better than us. No, they haven't been better than you. You shouldn't have been. Well, you shouldn't have won either game in Los Angeles. You weren't good enough. But you should have won both back here, that's for sure.
But you should have won it on paper, though.
You should have won with up six with 30 seconds left. Yeah. Yes. You should have won. You should have won, and you didn't. Because, you know, for all of the reasons we've talked about. But they got game five tonight. You don't think it's going to game six?
No.
I do. I think we go.
No.
We're coming back.
Austin Reaves is based on what?
Based on what I saw in game four.
All right, but Austin Reaves is back now.
So?
And you haven't been even close in L.A.
When Kevin Durant was with the Rockets, they were supposed to be so much
better, and they lost.
What
have you seen in L.A.?
I saw a team that wasn't ready for the playoffs. That's what I saw. But I saw a team in game four that was much more prepared.
Really, frankly, in game three, they were getting beat up for a chunk of that game,
and then they kicked their ass for a while.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah.
At home.
Right.
So I don't really see – I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see consistency. I don't see a team that's playing well on the road. And that's a concern for me.
Well,
and
it would be concerned.
The Lakers play with a great deal of confidence at home.
More concerned about losing last year in seven. More concerned about that team that lost to Golden State in seven, or if this team loses to this Lakers team in five.
I'm more concerned this year.
Yeah.
Because last year you still had the idea that, well, we're still a young team, first time in the playoffs. They're going to get better, because who doesn't get better when they're 21 years old, 22, even 23? You're still getting better. This team, you've now subtracted two of those players. You've added an old player, and an old player with some baggage, and the chemistry doesn't feel the same on the team.
You arguably lost three of your – well, you lost three of your top five players with no Steven Adams, no Fred VanVleet, and no Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. You've lost three of guys that will be here next year. So right. Are you less concerned when Fred comes back? Are you less concerned
when Steven Adams comes back? Because you and I have had the same conversation. Do you think there are Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams away from beating Oklahoma City?
Not Oklahoma City, but I think that they're probably
– Well, what's the difference between – we gave no graces to the Rockets team that couldn't get past Golden State.
Yeah.
We didn't say, well, they're still a good team.
But this first-round exit thing is bad. It would be nice to move on.
Yeah, no, of course. This should have been – I thought they would have, but Kevin Durant couldn't stay healthy. If Kevin Durant could have stayed healthy, I think they would have. I can't believe that the Rockets couldn't have beat this Lakers, that they wouldn't be up 3-2 after five games against the Lakers if Kevin Durant had played all the games and coming back home to try to capture it in game six.
Yeah.
That's what I believe would have happened. But it didn't happen. And so now, moving forward, I don't have the same, you know, feeling with, the youth. And there's only one young player. The only young player you lost is Jalen Green. And so, you know, I shouldn't say that. But Steven Adams is an older player who has had some injury issues here towards the end of his career. Fred VanVleet, that was just a freakish ACL. I don't recall Fred having a bunch of injury issues. But he's not a dynamic player. He's still a player that's a little older. He just does certain, you know, he's a stabilizer. And they could use a stabilizer right now. I didn't think, early on in the season when they were playing good, I didn't see any need for Fred VanVleet. Late in the season where you realize just dribbling was hard, that they couldn't dribble, and it cost you a game with Jabari because you didn't have somebody to just dribble up the court. Because Amen doesn't.
Well, no,
know how to
and
come
it was
back.
It was a problem in game two when Kevin Durant was getting trapped all the time up top, right? Instead of having him not have to bring the ball up and start the offense if someone else was there.
Like, I had no idea that you needed to pay a guy in the $20 million to just dribble a little bit. Mm. Like, it was that important and this team really struggled to dribble.
Let's get up. TJ, and is this? JT. It's JT that wants to get in here. Hey, JT, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. I really don't know what we were expecting with this Rockets team. I mean, all year, I'm going to say that they underperformed towards the end of the season. You could tell that they just didn't like playing ball with each other. Ime looked like his act is getting old. You know, when we first got Ime, we were kind of judging him against Steven Silas. And, of course, that was an improvement. I mean, it could not get much worse with Steven Silas. So I just don't know why you would trade for KD. You know, it didn't work with Brooklyn with KD. And to be honest with you, it really didn't work with Golden State. Their talent just prevailed over attitude. But he flaked on Golden State. He left that team. He flaked on Brooklyn. He didn't do anything there. And then he flaked on the Suns. I don't know why we were expecting anything different with KD, and especially with the way that this team played. This roster is completely flawed, like to Lance's point, and I think, John, you stated it as well. The roster got old, and you just got older with subpar players. So I really didn't think that the Rockets were going to win. I thought the Lakers were going to find a way to win. And I thought Ime was going to implode. I think his anger issues were going to take over. So as far as the Rockets go, I mean, I don't know what everybody was thinking. And I kind of wanted to touch on the draft and the Texans to that point. Everybody wants to give Caserio kudos, but what has he really done? I mean, I understand he's built a hell of a defense, but that defense didn't really start getting built until D'Amico came in and started, you know, showing him, hey, this is what we kind of need to go. As far as the offense goes, D'Amico really doesn't, I don't think, has a really good idea with that. To undervalue running backs, I know the NFL undervalues running backs, but at the end of the year, all the good teams have great running backs. They're drafting running backs, or they have a stable. This team refuses to put any kind of draft equity into running backs. I know we traded a third-round pick last year for a fourth-round running back, but he's small, and he was hurt. And then you have a wide receiver that's going to miss six games every year. I don't think this team is going to overperform next year. I think we're going to, again, be a 10-18, and we're going to be – waiting for that superstar on offense to score a touchdown.
All right, we got to cut you there.
10-8. Well, they were 11-6 last year, right?
No.
Were they 10-7?
They were
12-5.
What were they?
12-5.
Well, yeah.
The Texans were in the regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost their first three, and then they went on that
run. They won 12? Then what's he talking about 10-8 again? First of all, there's 17 regular season
games. Yeah, and by the way, they're really good. Listen. They're better offensively because they're going to run the football. They're going to play. Their defense is going to be even better than it was. They've added the additions that they've added, more swarm than they even had last year, which is going to be ridiculous. They're going to be a much better team because they're going to run the football, make the game shorter, and let the defense win.
I think there's some ups and downs with Nick Caserio. I don't think you can call it one way or another. And you can't just say – it's just not fair to say – D'Amico gets all the credit for the defensive players, and then Nick only gets the offense players. I don't think that's fair. I think they work in conjunction. And I think D'Amico maybe has. I would say it's fair to say maybe Nick has learned something from D'Amico in terms of how to – you'd like to think you're consistently learning and you're open to other opinions and other ways of doing things. And I'd like to believe that Nick has – improved his process just by being around D'Amico and seeing D'Amico's way of finding players. Let's remember, Nick Caserio was hand-in-hand lockstep with Bill Belichick, who just absolutely brutalized the roster of the New England Patriots by the end. His draft picks were just out, really bad. And it was you never knew who they were going to pick, which was charming when they were winning. And then it was just, holy crap, look at how fast some of these guys are out of the league. And I think so on the negative side, right? I did a bunch of podcasts yesterday, and one of the things we looked at was Mina Kimes gave me 10 different teams and tell me an intriguing pick from there. And intriguing could be any whatever you wanted to say. And I chose Marlon Klein, and I went back and looked before I went on the air because I'm like, well, you know, they need to get this tight end right. So I went back and looked at Nick Caserio's history with tight ends. He's had Brevin Jordan as a fifth round pick, which has been, there's been a couple flashes, but nothing really stands out. And that's just a fifth rounder. Fourth rounder, Tegan Cotariano, injured, never did anything. Fourth rounder, Cade Stover, has been injured, hasn't done anything. Now he's drafted Marlon Klein in the second. His last draft with New England was atrocious. A third on Devin Asiasi from UCLA. He had 7 targets for New England his entire 2-year career there. He only lasted 2 years. Went to Cincinnati, had 4 targets. He had 11 targets in 3 years in the NFL and was out of the league. He was a third-round pick. Dalton Keene, which I thought was way early on Dalton Keene, that guy played 148 total snaps in pro football, 1 year with New England in 2020 and 1 year in 2023 with the Houston Texans where Nick brought him over. So it's just that was terrible. Those are two third-round picks. So I think the question is, you know, Nick has done a good job with Bullock and Stingley and Lassiter. And yes, obviously, D'Amico's had a tremendous amount of impact on Will Anderson Jr. I've heard, you know, Kamari Lassiter was a guy he demanded and all that stuff. But Nick's making the picks, and Nick has – but on the offensive side, we got to really see. Like, I'm confident that Keelan Rutledge is going to end up – and I love the moves Nick has made in free agency. But there's a difference between watching somebody in the NFL who's played – because Laken Tomlinson was not a hit. Shaq Mason wasn't really a hit. So – we'll see if Braden Smith is a hit, who has missed an average of six games a year for the last 3 years. And then you got Wyatt Teller, who I think was banged up last year too. But on paper, I love what they did.
Who's your swing tackle now?
It'll be
Blake Fisher?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's still Blake Fisher.
Or is it Trent Brown?
Is it Trent Brown?
Well, I don't think it's swing. I think Blake's on the left and Trent's on the right.
So we talked a lot about what an opportunity they missed out on last year. John talked about how the defense should be better. Think about all the stars on the defensive side of the ball. Think about them in your head. How many combined games do you think those guys missed last year?
No, let's see. Like,
think about
almost none.
Players. It was two. When you think about their best players combined, two games missed.
Yeah, which is you're very lucky when that
was
happens.
A great injury luck season for the Texans on defense last year.
And they
year.
Had some issues.
Who missed the games?
Kamari missed one, and I think Aziz missed one. Those are the two guys who
missed one
game apiece.
Yeah.
Everyone else, the stars of the team, played 17 games.
So the issues with your secondary depth never had to be tested, never came into play.
Yeah, it did at the end of the year with
like
Kamari.
This year it's a bigger concern. Because every year you worry a little bit more about, okay, well, what about this year for injuries?
Well,
but when healthy, they're that kind of defense.
They're that time, yes.
Yeah.
So Trent Brown is just going to sit and wait for Braden to get hurt. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, he's not going to play.
Yeah.
God willing. Braden Smith stays healthy.
God willing, he doesn't play.
Because Trent Brown's an injury-prone guy, too.
Yeah. So you got a couple of – and then Blake Fisher is there for
– That's why you have to keep Blake Fisher.
Yeah. That'll be your four, and your interior lineman, Evan Brown, makes a team or no?
Yeah, because he's center guard. Yeah, so Evan Brown, so Wyatt Teller, Evan Brown, backup, Keelan Rutledge, starting center, right guard will be Ed Ingram, and then...
Does Jake make the team?
Maybe, because he's center, so between Jake and Patterson, probably Jake makes the team. He used to play in New England.
He started last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought he was better last year.
Not bad. I think he's better than Jarrett Patterson, even though you could argue Jarrett Patterson plays two positions. So that could help him. Anytime you can play two positions on the interior, if you're – Jake's just a center only.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't – you know, that's not always great for him. But, the depth – I'd say the depth in the secondary is still something that is maybe a little bit of a concern at cornerback position. I'm trying to remember if they had any – I don't believe I remember any impactful free agent moves in the secondary. Do you? It's mostly offensive line related or signing
this
guys.
Blankenship?
Yeah, Reed Blankenship.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, at cornerback.
At corner, yeah.
At cornerback. Because they've added Kamari Ramsey and Blankenship.
Yeah.
So who are the corners? I'm looking
well,
right now.
Well, they're adding Jalen Smith, allegedly.
So, yeah. So Ed Ingram. And Nwaiwu. Is the other one who will make the team for sure. Evan Brown will make the team for sure. Yeah, you're going to have Teller, Rutledge, Ingram, your rookie from Oklahoma, Evan Brown, that's five. You've got four tackles for sure that are making it. That's nine. I guess if you keep one more, it will be between, you know, I'm looking here, Jarrett Patterson, CeeDee Sal.
You got a lot of.
Because remember, Evan Brown can play center guard, so Jake.
We saw CeeDee Sal, okay, start a game. We don't need that anymore.
Yeah, I'm not really.
All right, we got a break. We are live at Sterling Country Club. We have got our occasional invitational today.
By the way, Kamari Ramsey right now is listed as a nickel. They list him behind Jalen Petrie as third safety. So the Texans are playing what's called third safety. There's a lot of people now playing third safety. And you know who the first to do it was, really, was the Texans with Kareem Jackson. Remember when they moved Kareem inside? I'm like, he's big. He's not fast enough to play nickel. What are you doing? And then you realize, well, he's really good against the run. And they were one of the first ones to say, hey, let's get our run support good from here, and we'll maybe play a little bit more zone, or we'll just, you know, because Kareem used to be an outside corner, then he moved inside, and I thought he would. And then eventually he finished his career as a safety. But that's what the Texans are doing right now. It looks like they're just going, we're just going to play big nickel, meaning third safety at the nickel spot.
Yep, well, they did it last year with Jalen. They're going.
So that's where they. Yep. So that's where the. But outside corners, you still have just Tremont Smith, not great, and then you have Jalen Smith, who we have to see.
Tremont Smith's the problem. Tremont Smith.
Good on special teams, though.
That's a real problem. Elijah Huzzle, we got that. Huzzy. Uh-huh. Elijah Huzzy, and. That's about it.
Colin Wright, they got as an undrafted free agent from Stanford, but
not all right, great. We got to actually Huzzy's probably a safety. We got a break. If you're looking for the best way to have some fun watching golf, how about not this weekend, but next week, May 4th through the 10th? It's the Insperity Invitational. All of the Hall of Famers are going to be here. Colin Montgomery, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, Padraig Harrington, Bernard Lager, Vijay Singh. You got your defending champs, Stuart Sink. On Saturday, you got the it is fantastic with the biggest names. Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez, Hale Irwin, Laura Davies, Sir Nick Faldo. You got access. You're close to these great, great, greats of the game. With the Folds of Honor, Greats of Golf, back for its 13th year. It's a 9-hole scramble, and it is awesome. If you're looking for, if you love golf, if you love golf forever, the biggest names are here, okay? It is happening at the Woodlands Country Club, the tournament course, and we want you out there. InsperityInvitational.com. It's marked May 4th through the 10th, all right? The 9th is the Folds of Honor, Golf, Greats of Golf. Get on out there. Go to InsperityInvitational.com.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Sterling Country Club. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, my God. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yes, the Ravens are signing him, apparently.
Oh, they did. They signed two quarterbacks, undrafted free
agents. Hold on.
UConn quarterback and Diego Pavia.
Fagnano. Yeah. One of your people.
So is Pavia. Okay. I mean, look at the chains.
No, actually, Pavia is not Italian.
Look at the chains.
He's not Italian.
But he acts like it.
He wants to be Italian.
I'm proud. I mean.
The meme with him and his black turtleneck and like three chains over in his head. Yeah. Maybe you didn't hear Diego doesn't shine shoes no more.
But look at – that's not true. This isn't
true.
That's not a real picture. Lamar Jackson is about a foot and a half taller.
It's not real.
So they didn't really sign him, right?
I thought he got a three-year deal.
Yeah, he got a three-year deal.
Oh, he already did the workout?
It was initially reported as a workout, and it led to, of course, Keith calling my show about how could they possibly not just sign him, and then hours later they signed him. Schefter reported that they signed him to a three-year deal without the workout.
But it's a three-year deal, but it's not guaranteed, could be cut this year.
Yeah, just like the other guy.
Basically, if you're good, we got you 3 years. If you're not good, you're gone.
Beat it. Get out of here. That's what it is. I don't want to talk about Diego Pavia. I want to talk about the star of the Rockets who says we're going to take the physicality to the Lakers. Can we talk about Alperen Şengün?
This is about to be bad. Go ahead.
Do you know what your guy's into when he's not playing basketball? You know, like you talked about Rutledge, ball. He's all about ball. That's what
first thing he said was, "Oh, got nothing nice to wear."
Yeah,
he's all about ball. We went from Prada bags and Gucci slippers and all this
Wranglers
stuff to a guy,
and I ain't got nothing to wear.
To a guy who says, I ain't got – you know, the old thing is, please tell me our offensive linemen have problematic political views because I know they're going to be a better blocker. That's the whole meme.
Yeah. Well, one guy who has other interests besides
What's
ball
What's going on
is
there?
Alperen Şengün. You know what he's interested in, John?
This is awful.
What's he interested in?
Harry Potter.
To what extent,
To what extent?
To what extent? Tell him.
He said he used to have a Harry Potter room, but he's building another one in his home. And there's a whole article from The Athletic on him being the biggest NBA Harry Potter fan. In fact, the question was asked, which house are you, Alpy? He goes, Gryffindor. That's your 6'11 center.
Would you rather have a Lego quarterback or a Harry Potter center?
I've really been shaken to my core with this Fernando Mendoza stuff. Watching him build Legos on draft day, like, it shouldn't be a problem. I shouldn't, and this is a me problem. This has nothing to do with Fernando.
That was AI, though, the giant Lego thing he had built on that table. Yes, it was AI.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was not. He did not do that Lego thing on the day of the
draft. Well, he'd been working on it. He was working on it the day of the draft, yes. He's known as a Lego guy. Do you not know this?
Yeah, I know. But somebody said, no, that's not real.
Let's not get distracted because Alpy has a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I have a sword,
hold on.
A mask, the
he
cap.
He has all this stuff.
Whatever you think of, I have. All those he has in the movie, I have in my house.
As he gets more money, he's going to buy more. Like, he's going to go to auctions and buy more Harry Potter stuff.
I watch a lot of movies, but I'm a magical guy, too. I dream about a lot of stuff, and they're all magical. So I kind of like magical, not-going-to-happen stuff. That's how I became a Harry Potter fan.
Like moving on to the second round?
That seems magical.
Is that magical, not-going-to-happen
stuff? A miracle
stuff?
Even, maybe.
Mm. We were in...
I wish he just said Slytherin.
All my life,
Who are your teammates? That's what they should say. Where are your teammates? What house is...
Kevin Durant to Slytherin.
All my life was like dreaming about something.
Slytherin.
And that Harry Potter stuff is about magic and anything can happen. So I think that's what I like the most. He's a whimsical guy.
Snape is Ime.
Oh, my God. Okay, well.
Slytherin.
He's told us just through his pictures before.
That's real.
That's real,
that
Don.
That was at Halloween.
He dressed
up like Harry Potter.
He dressed up like Harry
it's
Potter.
Not AI.
He came to a game dressed up like Harry Potter.
You can want it to be AI as much as you want.
Look at him. Look how happy he looks.
I mean,
he actually looks like Harry Potter with a beard. A giant Harry Potter.
Yeah, when Harry was on the run, yeah, he had that growth on his face.
It shouldn't bother me. It just does.
But I knew it would bother you. I'm happy that it bothers you. It doesn't bother me. I'm a nerd myself. But the fact that I'm Gryffindor.
You didn't have to do that voice.
That's what he sounds like.
He go, I'm Gryffindor.
You know that's what he sounds like.
Alperen sounds like this. He sounds like this.
Anybody who answers what house they are sounds like that, with that joy in their voice. I'm Gryffindor.
Who else is Gryffindor?
I don't know.
Jabari's Gryffindor.
Jabari's
Gryffindor.
Jabari's Hufflepuff.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean.
Who's Gryffindor? Is it Dorf or Door?
It's Door. Gryffindor.
Who's Gryffindor?
Alpy, I would think that Atari is a Gryffindor as well.
You've seen all these?
I've never read the books, no.
You didn't read the books?
No.
You saw the movies.
You read all the books?
My wife read all the books. I've only seen one in the theaters, like the final one, but I've seen the other ones.
The only thing that made my wife cry that I've ever seen, too, me being a jerk one summer before we were married.
Oh, you did some stuff, huh?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't do, like, I just wasn't being a good boyfriend at the time. I'll admit that. And she just kind of, she got a little emotional, and I felt really terrible. I feel even worse now because she's stone cold. The only other thing I've seen her get, like, and I don't know if I saw her cry. She claims she gets, I got tears in my eyes. That's a lie. You're saying that because you want to seem human.
Yeah,
but it's not true. She cried. I guess she cried, or maybe there's a little bit of tears when
you want to seem human.
She got upset when what's his name died. Who's the old? You shall not pass. That's a different one.
Gandalf.
Yeah.
Gandalf died.
No.
Yeah,
who's the Gandalf?
No,
who's the one in Harry Potter that's a Gandalf?
Oh, Dumbledore.
Of Harry Potter? Yeah, Dumbledore. He's a Gandalf of Harry Potter.
Wait a minute. He died.
Yeah,
Dumbledore's
dead. Dumbledore died?
Yep.
Yes, he did.
Well, I Now I can't watch.
Now you can't read it.
It's been out for a while now. You'll be fine.
Now Dumbledore Dutt, didn't you say something on the air?
Yeah, when it first came out, the book.
Yeah.
And I was really a jerk move of me. I'm like, oh, you Harry Potter nerds. Yeah, and guess what else? Dumbledore dies. And people legitimately, I'm never listening to you again. You're a big a-hole.
Well,
you were kind of an a-hole.
I told my wife I did this. She goes, why would you do that? I'm like, well, I was just telling a story. Your eyes teared up a little bit. It's only second time I've ever seen that. And by the way, that was in 2000, I don't know, 4-ish? 3 or 4? Haven't seen tears since then.
No.
22 years later. Nothing.
She's had children since.
Yeah.
That's really sad. Like, I know. It's just,
they haven't made her cry? No, just yell.
Not she gets mad. Not of happiness
or
anger.
Sad. No, she gets mad.
All right. We got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Gryffindor.
Live from Sterling Country Club.
I'm Gryffindor.
At Houston National.
That's what he sounds
we
like.
We got to talk about, Billy Brown. But do they need him here after you got here? And
do you want him telling that story?
It's too late. Here's the deal. I don't care if you're a business. I don't care if you're residents. If you have plumbing issues, no matter what it is, Billy Brown is here for you. Especially you businesses out there. You can't afford. You know, a lot of places you have one bathroom. And if it goes down, this is a problem for you and your business. Well, Billy Brown is going to be there. They're Johnny on the spot. They're going to be there in a hurry, especially in rush situations, especially if you spring a leak. They'll teach you how to turn your water off out front, but then they're going to get there so that you can actually have water and you can have some running water and you won't ruin all your floors. But they've done it for me. They've done it for you.
Yeah, they were great. They've been great in everything they've done. See, it's just somebody you can trust. Like, they don't even charge. You want to know how trustworthy they are? And how much confidence they have in themselves, they don't even charge you to come out and diagnose the problem. Everyone else charges you a fee, and then they tell you they'll put that to the work that you do. But now you're leveraged into using that company, whoever they are, and they can charge you whatever they want. That's not the way that they work with Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Give them a call, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Sterling Country Club. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, what did he say?
Getting you a bag. Welcome back.
He's
said, Lance, is that your bag?
What's wrong with the bag?
Well, your bag kind of sucks, dude. I mean,
what?
Honestly,
what am I supposed to have? What's wrong with it? It's a Callaway bag?
It's a what year?
I don't know. This is not a. What year is it? A car?
You have to upgrade your bag every couple of years.
I know. Yeah. I play golf every 2 years. What do I need a new bag for?
Well, he's going to get you one, so you're not embarrassing.
So you don't
yourself.
Walk.
I mean,
out
if he wants to give me a bag, I'll take a free bag.
Renee Ringo.
I'm not bringing it back. It's going to my car.
Yeah.
I just want so he understands that.
Yeah. No.
I don't care. That's fine. It's a Callaway bag. I got clubs. This golf place is going out of business.
Yeah.
And so I got a brand new set of clubs, Callaways. I was like, I'm going to go get some. Like I said, we're going out of business. And they had – so I got like $300 off the set. Or $200 off the set, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take some new clubs. So I got some new clubs. I needed some new clubs.
There you go.
I was playing with blades forever. It's a lot harder to hit blades. So the Astros were a tough one. Ryan Weiss, he's been money most of the year, but unfortunately just couldn't come through yesterday.
I was thinking about Ryan
Weiss.
This
guy sucks ass.
Is he the
– Ryan Weiss is terrible.
Has there been a worse pitching acquisition, like, to start in the last – decade for the Astros? As far as this guy's new, let's see what he's got. How bad has he been?
No, he's the worst.
I can't think of, like,
Burrow's
there was some
great
promise behind
Ryan
him. We
Weiss
were a little excited. He's got the stuff we think would work, and he's just been flat out awful.
He's just been awful.
Yeah, I can't. Of course, we had the Jose Abreu.
No, pitching.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm thinking of.
You can't say Montero. Pitchers. He was on the team.
Montero was on the team.
I can't think of anyone worse coming in. I mean, everyone they brought in typically did pretty well. Early on, Kikuchi was good. Early
really,
on,
really
he's
bad.
Been horrific.
Yeah,
he was. Bum. He was.
What was that? I just heard.
Dead bum.
That bum.
Yeah, he's been bad. So they lose yesterday, 5-3 was the final on that one. Bryce Matthews showed up a little bit. So that was nice. Bryce had three hits, got a home run. Second one so far.
But Cam Smith is really struggling. Altuve's really
Cam
struggling.
Cam's struggling. Altuve's struggling. And Astros are now 5-16 in their last 21.
Yeah.
5-16. Like, they're not coming back to 500 this year. They're nine games under now. Eight or nine.
Yeah, it's
and they're
right now.
Five, 8 games under 500. Up next, though, but I feel good because up next is Lambert, McCullers, and Burroughs.
Peter Lambert. What did you see from him?
Yeah, that's true. Last game was good
for
Lambert.
One of the quality starts this year.
Yeah, so let's.
One of the few.
Why are y'all making me look like I'm impoverished? My boy Rob says, I have a golf bag if you need one. It's not that bad. Here, I'm going to take a picture. It's golf nerds who don't like
it.
It's golf nerds.
Renee looked at that bag.
Renee and John are like,
disgusted.
Oh, my God. This is just. It's not that. I'm going to take a picture and send it to
you, Rob. He doesn't want you embarrassing yourself or anyone else out there.
It's like it's a soft. It's not a hard one of the hard.
You're going to.
Hard shell bags
Lance's
or whatever you
bag
call
brings
them.
Down the property value of the entire
it's
group. He takes it out there and everyone's like, ugh. We don't want to be around that bag.
Like, I am literally playing golf for the first time in years. I actually, if I get out there and start golfing again, if I have a place, it's just a little bit of a drive going to Wildcat. But if I, it's a longer drive out here.
What are you talking about? It's a drive going to Wildcat.
I mean, like.
20, it's not even 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's long.
Where do you want to go?
What do you want it? Around the corner? What do you want it? You want to live on the fourth hole?
I'm just so used to not having to drive far.
Yeah.
Where but, no, I really should go out and golf more because there was a time where I had a membership at – when we first started the show and I moved out to Sugar Land, I got a membership at Quail Valley. But Quail Valley was a goat ranch, and then they redid it and it was better. But I'd go out there and play all the time. I played – I grew up in Pecan Grove next to a golf course. I'd go across the street and play. Like, I like playing. It's just, you know.
It's not TC Jester.
For 5 months, it's not TC Jester. I get through my rounds of TC Jester in an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. So. It's no TC Jester, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pecan Grove. You grew up in Pecan Grove area, right?
Uh-huh.
With those racist streets?
Racist streets?
Yeah.
Was there a right? Well, everything in Texas had names of Confederate generals or whatever.
Generals?
Back then. Like, well, not all. No. Not all. That's not true, actually.
Plantations?
So my schools I went to were, actually, there's two parts of Pecan Grove. The rich part was the plantation.
Right.
And the poorer part was the grove. That's actually a true story. Hey, do you live in Oh, I live in house and plantation. Oh, do you have servants? But the names of schools at my – here's the names of schools. When you grow up in Texas, you guys may not know this. When you grow up in Texas, let's see. I went to a school called Deaf Smith because his name was Aractus Deaf Smith, some guy who was deaf. He was like Texas person or whatever. You have Jane Long. Yeah, I didn't go to Jane Long. We had Robert E. Lee was an elementary. We had Smith Elementary, which I don't know what Smith. I can't remember who Smith was. We had
Beauregard
Crockett Elementary, named after Davy Crockett. So I went to, or that's intermediate. I went to Crockett Intermediate. I went to Jackson Intermediate when I lived in Rosenberg, and that's. I don't know if it's named after Andrew Jackson, Stonewall Jackson.
Probably Stonewall.
I don't know.
Probably Stonewall.
So I had Jackson. Then there's Lamar, Mirabeau B. Lamar. Lamar Consolidated High School was named after Mirabeau B. Lamar. Like, every school was named after someone in Texas history. Somebody in Texas history, every school was. So needless to say, there were going to be streets.
Mm-hmm.
They were named that as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I lived on Austin Colony. Well, there's a colony. I lived on Austin Colony. I lived on Land Grant. I can't remember the other ones. But I lived on – we'd go on the golf course, and then I'd stop at – me and my brother and our friends would stop on, like, the hole 16.
This
was
when you
fishing.
Were, like, 10, 11, you had this
yeah,
golf bag?
Yeah, we go fishing golf balls out, and we'd go sell golf balls on the course to golfers. And most of them appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them told me, like, why are you doing this on hole 16, or he goes, this is too late. You need to go to the turn. You need to go like hole 10 or hole 11 or better yet.
To sell them?
Because they'll get pissed off. He goes, you need to go to hole 12.
Yeah.
Where no one will see you. Like, oh, thanks. My brother once got a leech on him from being in the water. Like, he was in the water fishing out golf balls and had an actual fully grown leech on him that we had to get off.
Did you burn it off?
Mom, I don't remember what my mom did. Yeah.
Well, we got a break so AJ can hit the top of the hour cue, which we rarely do. But we're going to do it now here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.